We are back on the Andy Thin Show, and that is the Rainmaker's Tornado, which is not quite the same as a hurricane, but if you're in the middle of it, hard to tell the difference.
Yeah.
Actually, it's that big funnel that gives it away. So, Mike, I now want to move on to our next clip, clip number 3, I believe it is.
Yes,
and
sir.
This is the mayor of
New Orleans,
a plain-spoken, colorful-speaking fella, and he's going to tell us that he needs troops, man.
I need reinforcements. I need troops, man. I need 500 buses, man. We're talking about, you know, one of the briefings we had, they were talking about getting, public school bus drivers to come down here and bus people out here. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. This is a national disaster. Get every doggone Greyhound bus line in the country and get their asses moving to New Orleans. That's they thinking small, man, and this is a major, major, major deal. Now, God is looking down on all this, and if they are not doing everything in their power to save people, they are going to pay the price, because every day that we delay, people are dying, and they're dying by the hundreds, I'm willing to bet you. We're getting reports and calls that is breaking my heart from people saying, I've been in my attic, I can't take it anymore, the water's up to my neck, I don't think I can hold out. And that's happening as we speak. We authorized $8 billion to go to Iraq. Lickety-quick. After 9/11, we gave the president unprecedented powers. Lickety-quick.
Split.
To take care of New York and other places. Now, you mean to tell me that a place where most of your oil is coming through, a place that is so unique, when you mention New Orleans anywhere around the world, everybody's eyes light up. You mean to tell me that a place where you probably have thousands of people that have died and thousands more that are dying every day, that we can't figure out a way to authorize the resources that we need? Come on, man. You know, I'm not one of those drug addicts. I am thinking very clearly. And I don't know whose problem it is. I don't know whether it's the governor's problem. I don't know whether it's the president's problem. But somebody needs to get their ass on a plane and sit down, the two of them, and figure this out right now.
I think Broussard in the previous clip hit the nail on the head as well. I think bureaucracy has killed people. I think there's way too much bureaucracy in this country, and it's becoming self-evident, Andy.
But, you know, that's essentially Rush Limbaugh's argument. On his show this week, he was saying, apparently, I was reading about this on the web, he was saying that it's the entitlement society, it's the bureaucracy that's been set up that makes people believe they should have all this aid and that they should wait for rescuers to come get them. I suppose he wanted them to swim to say, I don't know what he wanted them to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's... it's more than bureaucracy, I would say. The problem with whenever there's a natural disaster, from the tsunami to this, to a genocide, I mean, not a genocide, I mean a famine, assuming it isn't a government-inflicted famine, which some have been in Africa, the problem is that human beings do not have the capability to react instantaneously and to get all the aid where they need it. We have enough food in this world to feed everyone. But a ton of food gets wasted in the West, and there are people starving in the third world. We don't know how to get the food, the scraps of food that we don't eat, to them. And there's no good way to do it. And the way the economic system is, you can't just give away the grain. And so we don't have a system set up so that we can take care of everybody that's on the planet. And then when a catastrophe hits, it just, response time is going to be, it's going to take a while. Now, there may have been some additional problems, ineptitude here, that, you know, people will hopefully get to the bottom of and straighten out. And I do like President Bush's attitude, which is, look, where things worked right, we're going to duplicate them again. And where things went wrong, we're going to fix them. But now's not the time to cast blame, and I agree with him. On the other hand, I think his administration will be in for some blame because of who he put in place in FEMA. among other positions. And so we'll see. But it is true that no matter who was in office, there would have been an unsatisfactory response time because you need help instantaneously, and you're never going to get human beings to respond instantaneously. No matter what we have going on in the world, when there's a rupture of the social order, the social fabric, it's just messy, and it's going to be messy, and there's no good way around it. We should be thankful, frankly, that we are in better shape in terms of infrastructure than a lot of the third world. You know, if a tsunami hit the West Coast, we wouldn't lose 300,000 people. Right, not only because we have an early warning system, but we don't have hundreds of thousands of people living on the beaches, right, or living right on the shore.
Yeah.
And when an earthquake hits, we don't lose 20,000 people the way they do in Iran, because houses are built much better in L.A. and other places. They're not quite as earthquake-proof, all these buildings, as they are in Japan. But we just don't tend not to lose as many people because our civilization has done a better job of constructing things. And we have a better infrastructure to help people out in the same way that we don't lose as many soldiers in the field because we get them evacuated, we get them help, we keep more of them alive, all of that. So we do a pretty good job, but people expect flawless performance. That is the other problem with the whole notion of, well, I call it the insurance, the psychology of insurance, the idea that I should be insured against any eventuality. You know, in the old days, if a tiger picked you off from the crowd, you know, from the tribe, hey, that was just the luck. That was the law of the jungle. Today, if you walk down a neighbor's step and you aren't watching where you're going and you slip on their toy, you know, their kid's toy, or just slip on the step itself, you go back, you look and see there's a crack in the step, you blame them. They may even be in on it with you and say, yeah, sue my insurance company. And everybody's looking for somebody else to take responsibility for what happened to them. So I do get at some level that people should be responsible. If you chose not to leave New Orleans and then you got stranded, you know, you're responsible for that. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you're always responsible for your own life. On the other hand, the way disasters work, it just isn't pretty. It's always going to be messy when you have human beings involved. It's the same with Congress making laws. It's the same with a business. This idea that we have any kind of, well-oiled efficiency just is a myth, really. So it's not pretty, but that is the way life is. Now, let me move on to Michael Brown, because he's on the hot seat. This is the head of FEMA. We're going to get to a clip in which he is kind of out of touch with reality on CNN, and they actually call him on it, which most anchors or most interviewers have let people go on most of this stuff. But it turns out that what we've discovered in the time since this went on, since this has happened, we've discovered that who Michael Brown is and how he got to be director of FEMA. And basically, I was reading this week. He used to be, president? He was director, I guess he was president of the International Arabian Horse Association.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's not a huge job, but you'd think you'd have your hands full. Well, he was fired from there for incompetence and for running them into the ground financially. I don't think he was accused of stealing, but he wrecked the organization. They had to merge with another horse organization and rename themselves. He ruined the IAHA, the AHA, we like to call it, financially. And I know what it is. He was the Judges and Stewards Commissioner for the International Arabian Horse Association and was forced to resign when the litigation got out of hand. Now, when he was put up for FEMA, he claimed on his application, and the Bush administration claimed, that he had been involved in securing an Olympic bid or something. Like they made his job more important than it was. And it turns out this IAHA never had anything to do with the Olympic Committee. Either he or the White House lied on the press announcement that went out for him when they made him head of FEMA. But basically what happened was the previous head of FEMA tapped him to be his second in command or work for him at FEMA. And then when he moved on, after the Iraq war started, he went over and took charge at some company that had big contracts in Iraq. And Bush promoted this guy, Brown, to be head of FEMA. But it's very clear now he wasn't qualified.
Not at all.
And this may be the first guy that Bush fires for incompetence. Now, he fired Paul O'Neill, but I don't know that it was for incompetence so much as not sticking to the party line. But when we come back, we're going to play Mike Brown's, the head of FEMA's, comments on CNN. Now, he gave a number of these interviews in which he was out to lunch, but this is one of the better ones.